Hey everyone, welcome to episode 80 of Sits and Giggles. We are your hosts, Casey and Krista. How are you doing today, Krista?
I'm all right, Casey. How about yourself?
I am doing pretty good. I am podcasting from the comfort of my couch for the first time. I never thought to like set up here, and it's nice.
I kind of have to since the puzzle has taken over where I typically would record. I used to record predominantly at my kitchen table, but you know, puzzle and all.
Yeah, that's like my biggest failure as your friend is.
We're just struggling.
Also, to be fair to me, this is episode 80, and I have not had a couch for the first 76 episodes or so. So we are here. We are talking about actually the last two chapters of The Mandalorian. So we are going to be talking about, let me get the titles. Chapter 15, The Believer, and Chapter 16, The Rescue. So 15, The Believer, directed by Rick Famuyiwa. This is, it was his first episode of the season. It was his third overall. His first one was Chapter 2, which is the first full episode with Grogu. And then he directed Chapter 6, which was the prison break episode from Season 1. So it's fitting he directed this one because it brought back Bill Burr. So this episode, I'm kind of glad that we didn't try to do a full episode on this one because I don't have a ton to say about it.
It had a shit ton of parallels to Solo.
It did.
Like a ton. Almost the entire like action sequence of, you know, them on the shuttle trying to get in with the pirates. Like that almost like shot for shot was the scene with the pirates in Solo.
Right. Which
I'm not criticizing. It was something I noticed.
Yeah. Oh, no criticism at all. And like this episode was really good filler. But it was filler. But really good filler.
How many episodes this season have we said that about?
I think that it's probably time to accept that this is probably just, like, the way Mandalorian episodes are set up.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's a bad thing. I enjoy the show, but, yeah.
I think that the story is probably just going to be Mando inching his way towards, like, whatever the end game is for whatever season we're in. So, like, and I'm fine with that. Like I said, it's good filler. Like, I didn't say it was bad.
Oh, yeah.
But no, it's funny that you mention the pirates, because as I was watching it, I'm thinking to myself, these aren't pirates. Like, these are rebels, probably. Like, they're trying to stop they're trying to stop the Empire from getting this Rhydonium so they don't, like, hurt people. And here's Mando, like, killing them, and they're just, like, a bunch of poor bastards right now.
But they're in his way, and he has to get Grogu. And as we see in that episode, he will do anything.
I will let anything go for Grogu. Yes, he will do anything, such as take off his helmet.
Can we just talk for a minute, how fucking stupid it is that, like, their way to look up the coordinates of people's ships was located in the mess hall, so the cafeteria. The only criteria you needed to access it was to show a human face.
Which is ironic because, like, a droid would never try to do something it wasn't programmed to do. So, like, it should be a droid accessing these records, not a human.
And at the same time, like, literally anybody could just be like, oh, I wonder where Moff Gideon is today. Like...
You're right. Anyone can do that, and that's what happened, because two randos literally walked in off the street, accessed this terminal, and the computer's like, okay, cool, you are not a robot.
Before we even get to them doing that, we have the whole thing where Bill Barr's character takes off his helmet. And nobody's like, hey, I've never seen you before in my life. Or, hey, I recognize you. Or nobody's like, dude, why do you have your helmet off? All of us are supposed to have our helmets on. Like, nobody questions that.
That, I hadn't really thought of that. That was, like, the least of, like, the episode's, like, plot points that I questioned. But, yeah, you're right. No one thought to say, like, yeah, I've never seen a guy with a Boston accent here in this mess hall before.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, then. And he was in prison because he was somebody high up, supposedly, within the, you know, the Imperials.
Yeah.
So you think he would have probably been recognized, too.
And this episode made it sound like he was more just, like, a grunt, so...
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Still, that bothered me a little bit.
Could we talk for a minute about the way... Mando was moving his head when he didn't have the helmet on.
How he was moving it exactly like he would if he still had the helmet on?
Yes, yeah. I love how he takes the helmet off and he's moving his head like someone who's never, like, looked around the world without the helmet on. Like, I thought that was just, like, incredible attention to detail by Pedro Pascal.
Agreed. It was really, really well done.
Yeah. And then the conversation between Mayfeld and, I'm sorry, what was that Imperial's name? I need to look it up real quick. I should have had this ready before we started.
Valen Hess.
Yes.
His former commanding officer.
What was that?
He's Mayfeld's former commanding officer.
Yes.
And he didn't recognize him.
Okay, so that one... I'm going to let go because assuming that, like, Mayfeld wasn't, like, his second in command or something like that. Like, if he was just...
True.
Yeah, if he was, like, just a grunt, like, there's no way that guy's going to recognize him unless, like, Mayfeld did something extraordinary.
True.
I really related to Mayfeld in this moment, because, like, I've been in situations where, like, I've sat down with other veterans and, like, we got to, like, talking about our shared experience and, like, maybe, like, their points of view are wildly different from, like, my points of view, and, like, their perception of, like, their service is different than, like, my perception of my service. And, like, I've been in, like, that situation where, like, I've talked to, like, someone who's, like, for lack of a better word, like, a true believer, like, in this episode is called The Believer. Like, I've been in, like, those situations where, like, I've talked to people that are, like, a true believer, and, like, I can really see where Mayfeld was coming from in this, like, in that moment with Hess.
Yeah. I thought it was neat because it kind of plays or parallels in a way the exchange between Leia and Poe. Right?
In The Last Jedi?
Yes. Don't judge me. I completely am forgetting Oscar Isaac's character's name.
It's okay.
Like, it is gone from my mind right now.
That's fine.
Is it Poe?
It's Poe. It's been a while since we Poe Dameron. It's been a while since we've watched those movies.
And that, but here's the thing. Here's the rationale that my head was having right now with that. Is I'm like, it's Poe, and I'm like, no, you asshole. That's the name of the Teletubby. So yeah, I was like, it's not that. It's not that. That's the name of a Teletubby. Well, it was that. But yeah, it basically mirrors the exchange he has with Leia, where after, you know, the bombing run where everybody dies practically, and he's like, they all died heroes, and she's like, they all died, like, period, like, yeah. They're dead, doesn't matter what they are, they're dead. And you know, Mayfield kind of had that same stance, so it was interesting to see.
And this, like, the moment really humanized Mayfield in the eyes of Mando. And, like, this is probably – Mayfield is probably back in prison, if not for this moment. If it's not for, like – if it's not for, like, Din witnessing this exchange between him and Hess, like, Mayfield probably goes back to prison at the end of this mission.
I think that plays a part, but I think a bigger part plays when he's, like, telling him after – he's like, I never saw – put your helmet back on. I never saw you without it.
Like, yeah, I never saw your face.
You're safe. I think that probably more than anything.
And blowing up the Rhydonium.
Yes, that's
it. Saying, like, we all have to sleep at night. Like, it all play. Like, it all, like, comes together and plays that part in the end. But yeah. Yes. So yeah, I did. I liked the episode. It was a really good episode. And it leads us into chapter. What is the last one? 16. The Rescue, which was directed by Peyton Reed, director of Ant-Man. This is his second episode this season and second total. He directed Chapter 10, The Passenger, which is the one where...
The frog!
Yeah. Which featured a man-size ant, which is fitting for the director of Ant-Man. So this episode... this was a perfect episode. This was everything I wanted from The Mandalorian. it featured a healthy amount of Bo-Katan, which we both know, we both want.
Yes.
I thought it had some good, like, bait and switches. I like how Mando struggles fighting the one dark trooper. And then, like, he just, like, blows all the other ones out of the airlock. And I remember, like, when that happened, I'm thinking to myself, well, that's really fortunate, but that's also really anticlimactic. but then, like, later on, they all fly back onto the ship. Like, I thought that was I like how they handled that.
The jetpack's back.
Texted me some angry faces when you were watching this. Do we need to talk about the jetpack?
I'm just annoyed by it. That's all.
Why?
If he would have had the goddamn jetpack in, I forget what episode number it was.
13?
13 or 14?
Yeah.
He probably could have saved Grogu, or at least a better attempt.
But then we wouldn't have this episode, so...
Because none of this wouldn't have happened. Grogu wouldn't have had to have been tortured yet again. It's just... I don't know. It bugs me.
I'm just glad... Because
there's no reason for him to have actually had to have taken the jetpack off in that particular instant. It wasn't a weapon.
You know, you're right, because they never established that it has, like, a rocket like Boba Fett's does.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
It does, and his helmet, yeah, because his helmet doesn't have, like, the aiming mechanism either. So, maybe Boba Fett doesn't know that. Maybe Boba Fett's just like, my jetpack's a weapon, so yours is a weapon, so take it off.
I don't know. Regardless, it bothered me.
What were your thoughts... Like, just your overall thought on this episode. Good, bad, great.
Maybe I have to watch it again. It was good. Like, I enjoyed it, but like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I just need to rewatch it the second time. I'll say one of the really cool aspects of it was literally, what, four women taking the entire ship,
Yes.
which was incredibly badass.
Two of which, one of which is in her 40s, another one is in her late 50s, which is incredible because like Hollywood like discards women like over the age of 35.
Yes,
So
Ming-Na
like
was
that
just
right, yeah,
insane.
I cannot like get over the fact that she is almost 60 years old.
That's absolutely insane.
Yeah. I just loved everything about it. I watched it twice. I did watch.
I have not watched it a second time. Ooh, added bonus that I really enjoyed was seeing Casca Reeves beat Boba Fett's ass. All because he disrespected Bo-Katan. Love
I
it.
loved how like she's just like, I didn't think sidekicks were allowed to talk. Like
Yeah.
that was awesome.
I enjoyed that. It was kind of like breaking the fourth wall a little bit, in the sense of being very aware of what their role is.
I this episode, pay attention like the second time you watch it because like this episode I thought did some really good things with reactions to things that are said. So like when Bo-Katan calls Boba Fett a clone. Like it's quick and it's subtle, but like Mando looks at him and is like, "You're a clone?" Like little things like that. Like there were little moments like peppered throughout this episode I really enjoyed. Same thing with like towards the end of the episode when like Luke picks up Grogu. Like I feel like Grogu is looking at him as if saying, like, you know, I'm in this mess because your dad killed all my friends, right? Like, I can just, like, picture him saying that to him.
I want to know what R2 was saying, because we know R2 was saying something, and being that it's R2, you know it was probably R2.
R2-D2 looked at him and was like, holy shit, it's a baby Yoda.
Yeah, like R2 had our reaction probably. Speaking of Luke, I just want to say, and you mentioned bait and switch, and that to me exactly was what it was. So yes, you had the X-Wing come in, and you know X-Wing is always associated with Luke. Yes. But I think they were hoping that the general like audience would probably assume that the Jedi in question was going to be Ahsoka, meaning that A, we only see the hood completely up the entire time because we're only seeing it for the majority of the time. On like security camera footage, it's in black and white basically. So the lightsaber's white.
Yes.
I think the goal was like to try to make people not think it was Luke and think it was Ahsoka. In regards to how Luke looked, I thought the face work could have been better. He looked awkward in a lot of instances and.
I thought he looked better than Tarkin looked in Rogue One. So I thought just like as far as like from a technological standpoint, I thought that like it was better than what Tarkin looked like in Rogue One.
See, but I also thought Luke looked better in Rise of Skywalker than he did in Mandalorian.
In Rise of Skywalker? Was he? Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot he was de-aged in Rise of Skywalker. Yeah,
Yep.
you're right. He did look better in Rise of Skywalker. In Rise of Skywalker, though, it's a night scene, and
True.
like his face is lit by like the light of his lightsaber. So like, there's probably wiggle room there.
True.
The what really the first time I watched it, what really took me out of the moment was just like there was just something very off about his face when he was talking, just like the way, like his facial movements.
Yes, yes.
It was kind of, it reminded me of his character in Battlefront 2 and just like the way, like a video game, like character's mouth moves when they speak. Yeah. It was not as bad the second time around. I think that, like, the scene will grow on me. It just the whole, I mean, I freak out. It was, like, 3:45 in the morning, and I just, like, started freaking out as soon as I realized it was Luke. And yes, I did wake up at 3 in the morning to watch this episode. Not intentionally. It was the will of the Force. I just, like, naturally woke up at 3 o'clock on the dot. My first thought was, holy shit, it's 3 a.m. and I'm wide awake. And then my second thought was, holy shit, The Mandalorian is out. I'm going to watch this now.
You can tell me, you can maybe totally disagree with me, but I think this was probably the coolest we've ever seen Luke be with a lightsaber. And it was pure Anakin. Like, the movement and everything when he was fighting the droids with the lightsaber. Not necessarily the Force, because I think how they used or manipulated the Force is very different. But, like, the actual motions with the lightsaber and stuff was, with the hood up and everything, that was, like, that to me just screamed Anakin Skywalker right there.
Yeah. Yeah, this probably was the coolest we have seen Luke. And the, just the way, like, he grabbed the last Dark Trooper and just, like, started crushing him, that was incredible. That was, like, that,
his own version of a Force choke.
Yes, that wasn't even, like, Anakin. That was, like, that was almost, like, straight-up Vader right there.
Oh, for sure. Like, you can see, like, I don't know, I thought they did a very good job of, you could see that he's clearly, you know, Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader's son, with just how, like, his actions right there, in a way. I also liked the choice that they kept him in all black.
Yes.
I thought that was an interesting move.
Yeah, because they could have easily, like, given him that look that he had in the flashbacks of in The Last Jedi. But they didn't. They still went with, like, that Return of the Jedi look that he had.
Yep. I thought that was interesting.
So, like, I know, I'm sorry that this moment was spoiled for you. That really sucks.
It's fine, honestly. I mean, I'm not adverse to spoilers. We know this.
I know you're not adverse to them. It's just that, like, I don't know, man. Experiencing this live was incredible. Like, the just, like, because, like, I didn't know, at first I didn't think it was Luke, you know? Like, as soon as, like, so here's, like, how the sequence went for me. So the X-Wing flies in, and at first I'm thinking it was, what's his name? Is it Paul Hyung-Sung Lee? Is that the guy's, okay.
You're asking the wrong person.
The X-Wing pilot that we've seen throughout the season, the one who's not Dave Filoni. So, like, at first I'm thinking it's him. And then, like, when Cara Dune says, you know, pilot, identify yourself, and he doesn't say anything back, that is, like, the first time it dawned on me that, like, this could be Luke. And then, like, they show Grogu's reaction. And, like, at this point, it's very obviously Luke or another Jedi, because, like, Grogu is reacting to, like, this person coming in. And it's just, like, I just freaked out. I just absolutely freaked out, because, like, you know, like, Ahsoka is my favorite character now. And, like, after Ahsoka, it's Obi-Wan. But, like, when I was a kid, like, when I was a little kid, like, it was Luke. It was Luke Skywalker all day. He is, like, the first person that made me want to be a Jedi. So, like, this was a big moment for me.
Luke has really never done anything for me.
Well, you also, you rightfully recognize, like, the whininess of the Skywalker men, like, your whole life. So, like, that's perfectly understandable.
But I think that's because as a child, when I played Star Wars, when I was a Jedi, I was Anakin. Yes, even though he turned to the dark side, I was still Anakin. Like, that is who I picked.
When I was a child, I was Luke, because he and Obi-Wan, and then it wasn't Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan, it was Alec Guinness Obi-Wan, aging myself right now. Like, those were, like, the only two Jedi, like, you could model yourself after when I was a kid. So, no, like,
I don't fault you or blame you at all. I mean, like, and eventually it kind of got to the point where I was like, you know what, like, I got a lightsaber that was green, and I was like, well, Anakin doesn't have a green lightsaber. I can't play as Anakin anymore. But I didn't want to be Luke, because fuck Luke. So, I played as Leia. Just imagined that Leia did everything that Luke did instead. Even as a child, I knew it would be better.
The story would have been different. But hey, you're in good company, because Yoda wishes it was Leia instead of Luke too, so.
Oh, God. So we have to talk about the fight between Moff Gideon and Mando was okay. I wasn't overtly impressed by it. Like, it wasn't bad by any means, but I don't think it is, like, overtly memorable.
I think that Moff Gideon had some, like, cool moves. Like, he knows how to use the Darksaber.
Yes.
I'm not totally... I don't know if I'm, like, really impressed with Mando's ability to use a spear. And I don't think that we've really established that he's a great spear fighter anyway, have we? So, like... No,
I don't think he's ever really used one before.
I think he got lucky more than anything else.
Oh, so, for
like,
sure.
Yeah. It would have been cool if, like, we got to see a fight between Moff Gideon and Bo-Katan.
That's what I wanted.
Yeah. And then, like...
deprived me of it.
Then there was the rumor of the fight between Moff Gideon and Ahsoka, which we obviously have not gotten and probably won't get. I like how... I'm intrigued by what it's setting up between Mando and Bo-Katan. Like, I don't want there to be, like, legit conflict between the two of them. But, like, I like that it does put them a little bit at odds right now. It gives... I like that it sets up a problem that they need to, like, really solve instead of, like, fighting each other.
And it's a problem that was unintentional. Like, he never meant, like, he didn't know what he was doing. And you can't fault him for engaging in Gideon, considering, you know, he had the Darksaber over top of Grogu.
Yeah.
And then attacked him himself and tried to kill him. Like, you can't fault him for that. I am pissed, though, because now I'm kind of like, okay, so where are we going with... This is terrible, because I'm invested. Where are we going with the Bo-Katan story now? I need to know.
Before we talk about where we're going with the Bo-Katan story, correct me if I'm wrong, but in Star Wars Rebels... Didn't Sabine just hand the Darksaber to Bo-Katan, and Bo-Katan was like, cool, I'm the leader of Mandalore now. Like, I'm pretty sure that's how that went down. So, like, there's no reason why, like, she couldn't just take it from Mando. I just want to point that out.
I agree. I do agree. Maybe we're misremembering that particular, you know, how that all played out exactly in Rebels, but I think you are correct, so I don't know.
I'm halfway through season 3 in my rewatch, so I'll be there soon enough, and I'll report back.
I was doing my rewatch and then I fell off the wagon. I need to get back to it, but I'm too obsessed with Orphan Black right now.
Yeah, and after Orphan Black, we got to get back to Vikings. So just put Rebels like way in the back of your mind right now.
You would do that to Rebels? You would bury it?
Okay, first of all, I was doing a Rebels rewatch. We started Vikings. And now I'm doing Orphan Black also. So I am in the exact same boat you are. So I don't want to hear it.
All right.
Actually, Rebels is like, I like going through Rebels nice and slow because like it gives me something to have when I don't feel like watching something like heavy, like Vikings. Great. or Orphan Black.
Oh yeah, buddy, because that you're only getting started in that. Ooh, boy.
you got it.
Storm coming.
Are you on season 3 now?
I'm on season 3, episode 8 is my next episode.
God damn, yeah. Didn't you just finish season 2 like 2 nights ago?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, it is the weekend, so.
I watched a couple episodes last night. I usually watch about 2 episodes a night.
Okay.
And then today, after we played FIFA earlier, I watched probably like, I don't know. Whatever time we stopped talking, I switched over to that.
Do you watch them while you're playing FIFA?
No.
Okay.
I don't got the attention span for that.
I didn't know, like, if you put things on your iPad to, like, have on while you play FIFA.
Do you do that?
I don't know.
Okay. That'd be weird.
I can't even, like, do a podcast while I play FIFA.
Oh, I can do a podcast while I play FIFA. When I play FIFA, I mean, you know this. We've played FIFA together. You've watched me in person. I legit fucking zone out, basically.
Yes, you zone out and score like 5 goals against me. I've noticed. I get it.
I'm over there like he can't even tell that I'm like ever stressed or under pressure. So he claims. I don't believe him. But then he's over there and like I can visibly tell when he's getting like stressed or like when his like heart rate is elevating because like, you know, he has a chance and on goal and he's panicking.
I've gotten better. I beat you last time.
You did.
I am now like 3-95 against you. So like all good. But yeah, so where the Bo-Katan, where is any of this story going? Because this episode left us with the question of like, is Mando's story done? Like it kind of looks like they finished his story and like focus could be shifting to Boba Fett now.
So, yes. And I wouldn't be surprised if that is the case, but, like, at the same time, it doesn't seem to be confirmed yet if the Book of Boba Fett is going to be its own entity, like, and then season 3 of The Mandalorian will be something else, or what. I could see either one, but I'm going to be honest, if this is the last we get of Din Djarin and Pedro Pascal. Nice mug.
Thank you. It's very fitting for this episode.
To switch over to a Boba Fett show. While I'm not opposed to having Boba Fett do his thing on Tatooine with, you know, Fennec, I don't want it to be at the expense of Jin at all in his story. Even his story alone, like separate, obviously, from that of Grogu.
Yeah.
It feels like a bait and switch. Like they wanted to do a Boba Fett show, but they didn't want to start with it. So I think you put it really nicely. It's like they got you really invested in caring about this character and his story for 2 years. Only for it to be like, aha, now we're a Boba Fett show. And in my opinion, if the title is going to remain The Mandalorian, if anything, if you're moving away from Din Djarin, the next, in my opinion, the next focus should be on Bo-Katan and retaking of Mandalore, trying to reclaim Mandalore.
Yeah, and that is a story that we got invested in through Clone Wars and Rebels. So that is something I want to see continued. As far as the Boba Fett thing, so like there's two things that I'm going off of here. One is that, you know, the Mandalorian episodes are called chapters, and this is called...
I completely agree with you on all that. Like, it makes sense. It does.
Yeah, and this is coming, it said coming December 2021, and in that investors call that we talked about last week, Kathleen Kennedy said season 3 of The Mandalorian was coming December 20th. Yep. I don't picture them doing two Star Wars things at once.
No, I agree. So I don't know. I'm intrigued. I think it's a damn shame, though, if this is means the end of Pedro Pascal in the Star Wars universe.
If it does, he had a great story.
Yes.
And a fitting ending.
Yes.
We talked, when we were talking about Chapter 15, we talked about the way he was moving his head when he took his helmet off. I loved how he took his helmet off right here, and Grogu went to touch his face, and he cringed. Like, he was very obviously being touched by someone for the first time in decades. And I love that little piece of attention by Pedro Pascal. But
I mean, no offense to Grogu. Shit, if that little claw thing was coming at my face too, I might flinch a little bit as well. His hands are weird looking.
So that's like the only thing about Grogu that you don't think is adorable is his hands and probably his feet.
He's got like talons for fingers.
I'm looking at my little Grogu doll, and the hands on the doll are not as creepy as like the TV show hands. So
yeah, if you need any more point, think about freaking Yoda in Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, using his nails and then literally scraping chunks out of the things.
Yeah, no argument for me. That was gross. I will never cringe when I watch that.
Him taking his helmet off for Grogu, though, had me sobbing like a baby.
Yes.
Not gonna lie. Also, when Grogu initially, reacts to Luke saying he'll take him, and, Mando is like, he doesn't want to go with you, and he's like, and Luke corrects him, he's like, no, he wants your permission. Like, I think thought that was a touching moment. Like, he wasn't going to go unless, Mando was okay with it.
Yeah.
That is, the entire sequence between the two of them saying goodbye was just, honestly, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah. And I'm glad that Peyton Reed focused in on Grogu and Mando in this moment. Like, we didn't see, the reactions of everyone in the bridge. Like, it was just the two of them in this moment.
Yeah, it's like you almost forgot that there are other people in the bridge.
Yeah. And it was probably tempting to get some, reactions when he took his helmet off in front of everyone. So I can imagine that would be tempting if you're directing this episode. But, I'm glad that, it was just the two of them. Man.
It was a fitting ending. I will give it that. But it also, I feel like... Now we want to know what's going to happen to Grogu between the ending of season 2 and, the sequel trilogy.
So help me God, if Kylo Ren touches one little gray hair on his green head.
I think that might be it. The people might finally realize that Kylo Ren was a shitty person.
I will hate Adam Driver for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Grogu escapes Anakin slaughtering the Jedi Temple only to, like, get stuck with his grandson slaughtering another Jedi Temple. I feel so bad for him. Goddamn Skywalker boys.
They're terrible. They are truly the worst. The most dramatic, whiny group of men in the galaxy, perhaps.
I have to give Disney some credit here, because this show has become incredibly popular, and I can't even imagine how much money Grogu has made them the last 2 years. If this is the end of Mando's story, or even if it's just the end of Baby Yoda's part of his story, and Baby Yoda doesn't come back on the show, I have to respect them for making that story decision, because that's probably going to cost them a ton of money.
Oh, for sure. I could very easily, I could honestly even see people looking at it at the show and going, oh, now it's going to be about Boba Fett. I'm not interested. I don't care.
That's
too mainstream Star Wars for me. Because I know a lot of people out there that like The Mandalorian, but they don't like anything else Star Wars. And they don't care to go back and rewatch. So, I've had conversations with people who are like, oh, I love The Mandalorian. And it's like, oh, if you enjoy it, you should go watch. But they're like, what's the deal with, wanting to know more about the Darksaber? Oh, if you go watch, this and this, you'll understand it more. No, I have no desire. Well, you'll enjoy it if you like The Mandalorian. No, I don't like Star Wars. I just like The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
So I could see, there's that risk too. I think switching main characters completely.
What if, hear me out, just hear me out here. What if Boba Fett becomes the lead in The Mandalorian, and Din Djarin becomes the lead in Rangers of the New Republic? What if Rangers of the New Republic are him, Bo-Katan, and Cara Dune? Oh, I don't want Cara Dune in that show, but what if they just completely switch their lineups around?
That'd be wild.
That would certainly be something different.
It would be. I don't know. I'm still of, and I hate to do this, because I agreed with in the previous episode with his chain code that he was a Mandalorian. But now that I think about it, I only agree with the fact that, yeah, the armor's rightfully his, but I don't believe that Boba Fett is a Mandalorian. Because what Bo-Katan says makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, because he's my father, and she's don't you mean your donor?
Yes, but then I'm conflicted because I'm watching Orphan Black, and, I feel like these clones are real people and individuals, and they have their own, lives, so it's
They absolutely do. We covered this in the very first episode of The Clone Wars. Yoda told them, he's you're all living beings. You all have a soul. So Bo-Katan's wrong. I hate to say this. We both love Bo-Katan. We both get it. But Bo-Katan's wrong.
Point. He's not a true Mandalorian.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
I'm conflicted about it, because I do think he is a Mandalorian, but at the same time, I'm like, she's not wrong. But that could just be my Bo-Katan bias.
Okay, so let's say... first of all, let's pretend for a moment, for the sake of this argument, that there are two types of Mandalorians. Let's say that there are Mandalorians by birth, and there are Mandalorians by creed. So, Boba Fett very obviously did not take the creed. So the only thing left is Mandalorian by birth. Now, let's say Boba Fett was not born on Mandalore. But he was adopted by a Mandalorian family and raised as a Mandalorian. Would that make him a Mandalorian?
Yeah, I guess, because that's the same sense of a foundling, if you think about it.
Yeah.
That's essentially what a foundling is.
And, like, his father being a foundling was enough for Din to say, like, okay, you've earned that armor. That's your armor. So, like, I think that there are just too many, like, warring factions of Mandalorians. Which would be another interesting thing to, like, really go over.
Just why there just needs to be a show about them attempting to reclaim Mandalore.
This show, if they... Definitely. The show from the very beginning should have just been called The Mandalorians, plural. And then, yeah. Like, we wouldn't even, like, have an issue with them, like, maybe shifting focus to Boba Fett for a little bit.
Yes.
I never cared about Boba Fett until 2 weeks ago. I do want a Boba Fett show now. Just please don't make it at the expense of Pedro Pascal. Please, please, please don't do that.
That is my one hope. That is my one fear. I'm not opposed to it, especially since it really looks like we're going to be getting Ming-Na Wen as Fennec in it. She's also confirmed that she's going to be doing the voice of Fennec for Bad Batch, which is incredibly awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm excited for it. I think it could be really cool, but I don't want it to be at the expense of Pedro Pascal. And ideally, I'm a little upset that it's at the expense of Bo-Katan. Because if anything, it makes more sense to go and follow her storyline, because she is truly a Mandalorian, and she is retrying to retake Mandalore.
Yeah. Now, a thing that someone did, like, posit on Twitter is that the story could be about Fennec and Boba Fett ridding Tatooine of slavery, which, like, if that's the story, that's really interesting, and I kind of... A storyline like that would help me get over losing Pedro Pascal. If it was just, I'm Boba Fett, I'm now the crime lord of this planet, like, that would just be stupid. I wouldn't want that. But, like, if it's a really substantive story like that, like ridding Tatooine of slavery, I can get on board with that.
I guess. I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. But, man, I am really tired of Tatooine.
Oh, yeah.
Really tired of Tatooine.
I'm tired of desert planets in general. I don't need no more Tatooine, no more Jakku. Like, you're in space. Give me something, like, spacey.
Like, honestly, though, like, we go to, like, the same type of planets over and over again. Like, we even got, you know, a Hoth repeat. We had Ilum in, you know, the sequel trilogy. So, like, get the same type of planets.
If you're gonna take me back to another planet, take me back to Mustafar. I want to go back to Mustafar.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be cool. Or Dathomir. Dathomir in live action would be incredible.
We've never seen that.
We have not, no.
Yeah, Dathomir. Dathomir it is. There is the theory that Thawne's, like, henchwoman from the Ahsoka episode is a Night Sister. So
I did see that. I did. I saw that she was a descendant of the Night Sisters.
So, like, if she's going to be in the Ahsoka show, like, maybe that'll, like, be our excuse to go back to Dathomir.
When is that supposed to come out? 2022?
The Ahsoka show?
Yeah.
Let me see if we have a date for it. One second. While I am looking this...
Like, man, I'm, like, pumped.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said I could. Like, I'm excited for all of these, but like, I'm gonna also be really bummed if the next thing is really just the Boba Fett stuff and we don't get anything else.
So most of the Star Wars stuff is TBA. Andor is sometime in 2022. Everything else is to be announced as far as when it's coming out. Bad Batch is mid-2021.
Minus Bad Batch, which we already said is basically just season 8 of the Clone Wars, which I'm totally cool with.
Yeah. And Star Wars Visions is 2021.
I'm trying to have an open mind for that.
I don't remember what that one was. Was that the anime one?
Yes.
Okay, I'm cool with that one.
I'm trying to have an open mind.
Something that we forgot to mention when we were talking about all of the announcements the other day. No Rian Johnson trilogy was announced.
Oh, yes.
That makes me sad. I hope that like they're still planning on doing something with him again in the future.
Well, I think they did say that they were putting all of their films on hold.
They did, but they did announce the Patty Jenkins film, of course. Because Rogue Squadron is a film, not a series.
And yes.
They announce a Taika Waititi film. Although it was untitled and did not give a time frame. They just said he's doing something.
That is true. I forgot about that.
So, yeah, I hope Rian Johnson comes back. Because he's the last...
I mean, it's very possible to know. I was going to say, it's very possible that he's still doing it, but it just might be further down the line and not worth mentioning just yet. You know what I mean?
That's true. Because I think he's working on a Knives Out sequel right now. Which Knives Out is one of my favorite movies of all time.
I'm intrigued by how they're going to do a sequel for that.
I think it's just going to be a whole new story.
Oh, okay.
But it could be... Now, I know this isn't going to do much for you because, like, you couldn't stand his voice, but, like, Benoit Blanc would be, like, the main character of it again.
Daniel Craig with a southern accent's just wrong.
I don't know. It worked for me for some reason.
He sounded too much like Frank Underwood.
Who's Frank Underwood? Remind me of who Frank Underwood is. Oh, right. Frank Underwood. Oh, yeah.
It was too much like that. It was wrong.
Kevin Spacey really cheesed it up for that role.
Fuck Kevin Spacey. He was one of my favorite actors, and he just went and fucking made a fucking ass of himself.
Oh, really? One of my favorite movies of all time starred Kevin Spacey and was directed by Bryan Singer. So, like, I don't want to hear it.
No, I can still one-up you on this.
Okay.
I can.
Oh, and it had Stephen Baldwin in it. I don't know if you know who that is, but he's like, go ahead then.
Because after he got busted for it and couldn't hide it, he tried to blame it on the fact that he was a closeted gay man. So, thank you, sir, as a gay woman, for perpetuating the scenario that, you know, people who are gay are sexual predators, you asshole.
Okay, you've ten-upped me on that one, so congratulations.
I'm very salty about it. He was one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, that was like one of the biggest like piece of shit reactions to that type of accusation I've ever seen. To like blame it on being gay was, yeah, sorry.
Like when you know he had no intention of coming out probably at that point, except for the fact that he got caught and he needed something to, you know.
Yeah.
To excuse it on.
Fuck Kevin Spacey.
Indeed.
Do we have anything else to say for Star Wars?
That Kathleen Kennedy, I'm waiting for a Bo-Katan show. Make it happen.
I think that you will be happy sooner rather than later. Because, I mean, you think about it. Ahsoka got a spinoff. Cara Dune possibly got a spinoff. Boba Fett got a spinoff. Who's the only, like, main character of this season that hasn't gotten a spinoff yet?
Bo-Katan. She's the only one I actually give a shit about.
I think you're going to be happy. I think she's going to be getting a spinoff.
No, I take that back because I do give a shit about Ahsoka, obviously. But, like, her storyline is one of the most compelling.
I think you're going to get one. Trust me. You're going to get one.
I hope so. I'm going to hold you to this, Casey. If I don't get one, you're going to hear it.
She could end up being in the Ahsoka show. If that Ahsoka show ends up being, like, a Rebels sequel, mm-hmm. and it has, like, Sabine, like, there's no reason why it won't also have, like, Bo-Katan in it. Like, I can see that.
I don't know. I'm too invested in this character now.
I know. You love Bo-Katan. I get it. So do I.
I need more.
All right. You got anything else?
No.
All right. Everyone, thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Darth Hockey. You can follow the podcast at Sith's Giggles Pod. And you can follow Krista at...
I'm also on Twitter at Critter, K-R-I, 3 T's, E, 3 R's.
Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Thank you for listening. Bye.